time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy toward her, and they rejoiced with her. When they came on the eighth day to circumcise the child, they were going to call him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said in reply, "No, he will be called John." But they answered her, "There is no one among your relatives who has this name." So they made signs asking his father what he wished him to be called. He asked for a tablet and wrote, "John is his name." And all were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue freed, and he spoke, blessing God. Then fear came upon all their neighbors, and all these matters were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard these things took them to heart, saying, "What then will this child be? For surely the hand of the Lord was with him." The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the desert until the day of his manifestation to Israel. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In St. John the Baptist, we have a person who shows us, by his life and his mission, the truth we have been saying, that the Lord holds in his heart a plan. And that plan is not something he just thought up, but something that he has held in his heart for eternity. And yet his plan always leaves us free to accept and to respond or to fail to respond. We see not only that our lives are moving forward into growth and transformation, hopefully, and leading us to an ever deeper union and communion with the Lord, but we see that long before we were born, already the Lord was unfolding his plan. How strikingly so in the case of not only salvation coming to Israel, but salvation coming to all people. But it is true also in our own individual lives. In St. John the Baptist, we have the figure chosen by God to prepare the way for the coming of Jesus. In that sense, John is sometimes called the last of the prophets, because he is the last of those to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. But the way was prepared for John. And we know that he leapt in his mother Elizabeth's womb at the greeting of Mary, who bore in her womb the Messiah. So already he responds even in the womb. I can't resist again marking the tragedy of refusing to recognize human life as being human life in the womb. John the Baptist leaps in the womb, already living and already in response to the vocation he has been planned for. That plan goes all the way back to the beginning of time and is treasured in the heart of the Lord. And that plan was that John himself, as has happened sometimes before in the history of salvation, a woman like Sarah, like the mother of Samson, like others who were sterile, who could not seem to conceive, which in Israel was rather a disgrace because not understanding some of the reasons why a woman could not conceive, it was often held as if they were somehow cursed or flawed because they were unable to be fruitful. They were unable to conceive. It was a shame and a disgrace to them, as if God had somehow withdrawn that privilege and that blessing from them. Elizabeth is in that position, and then in her old age, as happened to Sarah, she conceives, and she conceives the one who is to prepare imminently the coming of the Lord, and who is the one who first identifies him, and interestingly identifies him as the Lamb of God, which becomes the theme that goes all the way through. Jesus as the Lamb, who is both the priest making the offering and who is the Lamb of sacrifice. That's the meaning of Lamb of God. He is both priest and victim. And it is John who calls him the Lamb of God. The destiny that this infant already is born into is symbolized by the choice of his name, a name that, like so many aspects of the birth of John the Baptist, his birth at a time when his mother is already too old for childbirth, and that is symbolized as an inbreaking of the Lord. The Lord breaks open the ordinary time of things. The Lord breaks open the ordinary expectations we would have expected. You would pick a name that is the name of his father or one of his relatives. Instead, from nowhere, the name John is given to him, and Zechariah confirms that. And then finally, we see something very important to consider in the final day of our retreat, and that is that when this inbreaking is recognized, when Elizabeth, but also Zechariah, recognize this new name, this new thing that is happening here, then Zechariah can once again speak. He must not only have lost his ability to speak, but he must have lost his ability to hear, because it is necessary for them to make signs. I just realized that for the first time in all these years of hearing this gospel. He must have been not only mute, he must have also been deafened. But at any rate, all of that opens up. All of that opens up. And I am absolutely certain that each one of you has had many openings during this retreat, and as happened with the birth of John the Baptist, the beginning of many other openings that the Lord wants all of us to have. St. Paul, in the second reading, which is from the Acts of the Apostles, St. Paul talks about John the Baptist in terms of another beautiful aspect of the mystery of his life, namely that he knows when it's time to get out of the way and when it's time to humble himself and step back. He was a real drawer of crowds. He had many disciples, John did, when he went out into the desert. And yet there came a time when John recognized, regarding Christ, once he had identified Christ, and then many of the disciples of John went over to Jesus. And you I might have thought that John would be hurt and disappointed. Well, he probably did suffer, but he knew that this was the will of God, and he spoke some of the most beautiful words in all of sacred scripture. He must increase, I must decrease. And I want to apply that to the theme of this retreat, which is prayer. We should not be afraid in our lives to decrease. When we have been a superior, or when we have been a leader, able to do many things, when we have had power, but also when we have had health, when we have had youth, when we have had so many things that we have enjoyed and might find ourselves wanting to cling to those. That is a natural human disposition. St. John is an example to us of knowing when it is time to decrease. And every time that we come before the Lord in prayer, every time, certainly when we come to the altar to receive Him, is a time to decrease. It shouldn't only start to happen when we get old and have to have someone lead us around or help us, but it should be happening every time we come before the Lord. We should decrease that we might be filled with Him. Let us rise and profess our faith in God. I believe.